Please, O Lord, our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. Please, O Lord, our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel.
Well, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You know, there are true stories and there are false stories. And I want to tell you the truest of true stories today, but I want to start with something of a false story. And that is one that just isn't true. So occasionally, Sue and I like to go to Symphony Hall. You ever been to Symphony Hall? Oh, forget it. It's one of the most acoustically perfect venues in the world. And so we went the other night to hear a Tchaikovsky Symphony No. 3. Gorgeous. Forget about it. And we also were looking forward to Leonard Bernstein's Kaddish, his third symphony, which was written in the mid-1960s, 1963. And we were disappointed. We love Lenny. We love Bernstein. West Side Story, forget about it. It's so gorgeous. But this was the story of the Kaddish, and it started out very well with a chorus, a huge choir, boys' choir, men's choir, big choir in the back with a symphony orchestra up front, and they did a beautiful rendition of the Kaddish Yatom, the Mourner's Kaddish that we'll do in just a little while. But then there was a narration, a woman narrator, who was acting the role of the Shekhinah. Okay, we can go with that, that's all right. But as it goes on, you get the impression that there's not a true story being told here, and I'll quote the lady to you. Oh, my father, ancient, hallowed, lonely, disappointed father, betrayed, rejected, ruler of the universe, I will say this final Kaddish for you. Not exactly great. And then she takes God on a tour of the universe, holding his hand, and as the mother God makes sure that he's okay, that he's not too hurt, she dries his tears because he is so rejected by humanity. And Sue and I didn't communicate with each other during it, only after, on the way to the car. No. And then I learned a little bit more about Bernstein, and I think he may have had some daddy issues. Certainly his daughter, Jamie Bernstein, says, my father's angry with God, and I'm angry with my father. Okay, thank you, Jamie, for your honesty about that. We appreciate that. Samuel Bernstein was his dad, who was in the beauty supply sales business, and he wanted his boy to go into business with him to sell beauty products. And it's reported that he would go to Lenny's concerts, where he's conducting the orchestras of the world, the greatest orchestras, and he'd sit there with something of a harumph. He never really entered into the joy of watching his son perform so magnificently. And so we can speculate, as amateur psychologists sitting about 250 feet away from the performance, that nonetheless, this projection onto God of the weak God who needs the mommy God to help him out is fundamentally wrong. Now, I want to move into the true story, in counter-distinction to the things that Leonard Bernstein put forth in his otherwise beautiful symphony. You know, he was a great, great writer. So I want to tell you a little bit about the Passover story, and that's the truest of true stories. I'm not going to go through all the obvious things that you know about already, but it's not about an ineffectual God who needs mommy God's comfort and help, but a powerful, decisive creator who is pained by the suffering of his people and who has an unbeatable plan for their rescue. You get the difference in tonality between those two, right? Okay. So God says this. This is just before the first Passover Seder. He says, this is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. Why eat it in haste? Because 9 times Moses tried to get us out of Egypt, and every time Pharaoh hardened his heart and said, nothing doing. But when God says, tonight is the night, you can be sure that tonight was going to be the night. And so get ready to go, because tonight, Israel, you're going. Now, it's a story about a promise to a particular people, the Jewish people, Israel. This decisive God, the creator of all, has the right to choose how he will interact with the world. That's a very important point. And he chose Israel, the Jewish people, so that ending the pain and suffering of all humanity would begin with, by his choosing this particular people. And that's why we exist, because of this particularity. It's not an accident of birth. It is not just another nationality like Eskimo or Italian or whatever, although those are holy things too in their own limited way, but this is something really special. And so, ending the pain of all humanity begins with ending the pain of Israel at the Exodus after 400 years of suffering. And then the story continues with Yeshua, the ultimate Passover sacrifice, through whom the blessings promised to Israel, those appropriate to the world, of blessing and peace and goodness are mediated, but mediated through Israel. That is a critical point in the story. So the question is, well, when did Yeshua die? When was he resurrected? At what time of the year? You know it. Passover time, right? So Yeshua is all tied up with this narrative, this true story of redemption that begins with the covenanted people, but also ultimately expresses itself to all the boys and girls in the world. And so we celebrate that too. Now, Messiah could do this because he is, get ready for an important phrase, you need to learn this one, very important. He's the one man Israel. The one man Israel. He is the one who embodies in himself all that Israel is destined to be as the conduit of blessing to all creation. That phrase, one man Israel, keep that one in mind. And the story continues, because what does Yeshua say? He's at the last Passover Seder, and he says this, they're wonderful words, listen to them. I tell you, I will not drink from the fruit of the vine again from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. That is, I'm not going to participate in any more Seders until one day when the fullness of Malkut HaShemayim, the kingdom of God, comes, and then I'll drink it again. Yeshua does not come back to the world as an undifferentiated universal man. He comes back as the Jew he left as. Think about that a little bit. That who is who he is in his human nature, and that's who he's going to come back, and he will drink the cup of redemption at the Seder with us again. Now, all the details of how that works out, that's beyond, that's largely a product of speculation that I can't get into and don't even have any definitive things to say. But the overall contours of the story, contrast it with a false story of the ineffectual God who needs mommy to help him. That isn't it. We're talking about a powerful God who has got a plan for this world, and he's working that plan. And that even with the interweaving of human free will, which temporarily can thwart what he wants to do, but ultimately it will not. Now, let me conclude by saying the story is one that we're part of and that we need to enter into, but not just cerebrally, not just in our heads, but very concretely. And so I want to conclude by just telling you how you can enter into the story as it comes, as it is expressed yearly, and as we're coming up on Passover. So here it is. What we need to know about or do on Passover. First of all, the timing. I want to encourage you now to start buying kosher for Passover products. Don't wait for the last day. So look, you're grocery shopping, you're buying something, you go, is it kosher for Passover? And you give it your best shot to use kosher for Passover products. I use the term phrase, give it your best shot, because I don't want you just super uptight. I want you to joyfully enter into the story. Give it your best shot. And there are a lot of neutral foods like vegetables and things, and that's You know, that's just what we always have. Now, what you want to start doing is you start wanting to start clean out the chametz, meaning if you have pancake mix with flour, begin using it up because you've just got a relatively short time, couple weeks. So use up all the pancake flour and use up all the bread, and you kind of time it so that it's you're done with all of that as you approach Passover proper. Then on Thursday, March 29th, coming up not too long from now, just prior to Passover, we sell our chametz to the neighbors. Now, there's two ways to do this. The preferred way is this. You have a family that you're friends with, they're not Jewish people, and you just put your chametz, all the leaven that you have in the house, baking powder, whatever, all that stuff, and you put it in boxes, and you go to your neighbor and say, listen, Passover's coming, I got to clean all the leaven out, so I want to sell it to you for $1. So you make a transaction. You give the chametz to your neighbor. They stick it in the garage or in the back of the house or wherever it's comfortable, basement, whatever. They give you $1. At the end of Passover, you buy it back. You give the dollar back. Everyone get that? That's selling of the chametz. That's an important part of getting ready, being part of the story. And then on Thursday night, that same night, March 29th, a Birkat Chametz, which is you have a, this symbolic ritual where you go through the house with a feather and a little fan, and you go with the kids, and you purposely sprinkle little pieces of leaven around. And you play detective, and you find it, and you scoop it up. And then the next morning, you burn it. And you can look on the internet for the brachas. I don't want to get into all that right now. Then, Friday night, Home Seder, March 30th. Saturday, our Ruach Seder here. You'll be hearing more about that later. And then, Passover ends Saturday night, April 7th. And I suggest go out for pizza, you know, after Shabbat. If you like pizza, that's what I would do. Now, I just want to mention a little bit more about foods. So, chametz, what is that exactly? Well, it's certain grains that we just try to avoid, certain grains. So, what are they? They are barley and wheat and rye and spelt and oats. And the reason we avoid them is because when they get wet, they rise. It's almost like leavening, you know, so we stay away from those. But there's a change that's been made in our rabbinical council, and that is that we used to commend not eating of kidney oat. The kidney oat are things like legumes, lentils, things like that. And you'll look on the web and there's a list of these. I don't have to get into them right now. But they have become fair game at our Seder. And the reason for that is in the Jewish community in general, the halakha is evolving, always changing. Not always changing, but this is something that now is fair game. So if you would like to have kidney oat, you are more than welcome. We're talking about beans and peas and lentils and sesame and sunflower seeds, and they're all fine. One other thing, you want to avoid during the Passover time, try not to go into restaurants for lunch. Standard that we've adopted, the Messianic Jewish Rabbinical Council, don't go to restaurants to eat, but if you want a cup of coffee, something that's clearly not going to have chametz in it, by all means do that. But try not to go to restaurants. And that's for the 8 days. Now, the purpose of all this, when we add it all together, it's, let me put it to you this way. Were you at Purim? Was that fun? Yeah. It was so much fun because we're all part of the story. Whenever you know whose name is mentioned, we, and Rabbi Nathan would go, and I would, we'd do Star Wars music on our horns. Dom, bom, 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 bada. Darth Vader music for the guy. Remember that? We were entering in. That's the way these holidays are supposed to be. We enter in. And so I want to encourage you to enter in, not just because it's fun, but because this is how we're changed. This is how we grow. Not just by cerebrally knowing things. That doesn't cut it. Okay? At Pesach, we have a chance to get into the story again. It's the biggest story, the most profound and important story we can think of, with all of its implications about Yeshua. So get out of your seat in the audience, get on stage with Aaron and Miriam and Moses and Yeshua and Jews everywhere. The curtain is going up. Happy Pesach. Shabbat Shalom. Oh Lord, our God, may the words of your Torah sweet.
in our mouths. Please, oh Lord, our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel. And may your descendants and the descendants of your people Israel be those who know your name and study your Torah. For Messiah.